From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. It is not the Lord is partly my portion, nor the Lord is in my portion, but He Himself makes up the sum total of my soul's inheritance. Within the circumference of that circle lies all that we possess or desire. The Lord is my portion, not His grace merely, nor His love, nor His covenant, but Jehovah Himself. He has chosen us for His portion, and we have chosen Him for ours. It is true that the Lord must first choose our inheritance for us, or else we shall never choose it for ourselves. But if we are really called according to the purpose of electing love, we can sing, Loved of my God, for Him again with love intense I burn. Chosen of Him ere time began, I choose Him in return. The Lord is our all-sufficient portion. God fills Himself, and if God is all-sufficient in Himself, He must be all-sufficient for us. It is not easy to satisfy man's desires. When he dreams that he is satisfied, anon he wakes to the perception that there is somewhat yet beyond, and straightway the horse-leech in his heart cries, Give, give! But all that we can wish for is to be found in our divine portion, so that we ask, Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Well may we delight ourselves in the Lord, who makes us to drink of the river of His pleasures. Our faith stretches her wings and mounts like an eagle into the heaven of divine love as to her proper dwelling place. The lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. Yea, we have a goodly heritage. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. Let us show to the world that we are a happy and a blessed people, and thus induce them to exclaim, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.
Sing it with the saints in glory.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in the studies of the law of God as he concludes the first of two messages dealing with the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. The Bible provides clear instruction as to the respective roles of parents and children. Parents are to instruct their children in the ways of God. They are responsible to provide for their children, not only materially, but spiritually and emotionally. Also, parents are commanded to discipline their children and to teach them respect for authority and for others. Parents are to help their children to take the long view of the matters of life. Now, to conclude this first of two messages on this fifth commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
You mustn't be like Eli. Eli had sons that he reared to be damned. He saw them become priests, but he still saw them damned. And the Lord put his finger on what was wrong with Eli. When his sons were going into sin, he didn't restrain them. Now, when you find that, when you read the record, you find that he did speak to them about their sin. He did speak to them, which is more than many Christian parents would do. He spoke to them. And you would say he remonstrated with them about their sin. He pleaded with them not to go on in their sin. But the one thing he wouldn't do was set up the standard of God's holiness and apply the sanction of God's law. In other words, when they trampled what he said beneath their feet, he just threw up his hands and said, "What can you do?" You see a picture of many parents there? "Oh, Johnny, don't do that." And Johnny goes and does it. "What can you do?" "What can you do? Well, you can start by catching yourself on. That's what you can do." Christian parents must have the guts, the courage, and the faith to take God at His word, to set up the standards of not only law, but of grace. Not only of law, but of gospel. And they must impose them, not like Eli, but they must rule by the word of God, and not by the opinions and the philosophies and the psychologies of the world. In all this, they must be teaching these children to respect authority, divine and human. They must teach them God's word. They must teach them what it is to respect this book, to respect God's house, to respect God's day. Those are very simple things that even a small child, little time out of babyhood, can grasp. Teach them these things. And then teach them God's word. And then teach them God's grace, God's gospel. Teach them submission to divine authority. And then submission to human authority. First their own. And then that of rulers in state and in church. Now parents must not set out to squelch self-expression and the development of the individual personality in a child. But they must regulate those things by the word of God. Let me touch on something that's very down to earth. This commandment means that parents are called upon to teach their children how to behave in relation to others. They must teach the child that he cannot always have his own way. And he can't always indulge his own pleasures. Must teach him respect for authority. And how to live in relation to the authority and the rights of others. In Bible times, children called their father Lord. They bowed down, even when Solomon was king, he did this. Bowed down before his mother. They stood, as we have read in God's word tonight, they stood when an older person would enter into their presence. Now the customs have changed, but the principle remains the same. You know what we're talking about there, of course, is what we nowadays call good manners. And good manners should not be corrupted. Someone has well said that manners are the brakes which conscience puts on the expression of the lusts of the flesh. Good manners will be like disc brakes on a vehicle that otherwise would run out of control. And they teach children to have respect for and regard for the effect of their behavior on other people. Now let me deal with a very particular part of this. It's a very important thing that parents must teach their children by their discipline. And it's the need to take a long view of things. Children live for the moment. We all know that time means nothing to a child. Joan and I used to laugh when Frank was coming in from Bob Jones when he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Of course, he was knee-high to a grasshopper until he was 16. But, I mean, when he was very young, he'd come in and we'd say, well, how long did that go on for? I says, oh, about 11 minutes. Of course, he hadn't a clue what it was, 11 minutes or 11 hours. He hadn't a clue about time. Maybe a little bit like myself when I come to preach. Haven't a clue about time either. But we all know that children live for the moment. To be denied something in this moment to a child can be excruciating. That's why parents find it so difficult to deny a child. I'm sure you've seen them in Kmart or Walmart or whatever other mart you go to, and they're screaming, I want that! Oh, nearly this ticket. They're only down the next day. I want that. Well, give it to him. You know, you can't say no. You can't. I give you a dictionary. It has big letters in my dictionary. But the agony for the child is real. It's real. It's not just simulated, though it can become simulated if it's indulged too often. But the trouble is the child lives just for the moment. He must be taught what it is to wait and to labor and even to suffer for the moment in order to achieve long-term benefit. Those old hands here from the days of Bob Jones Sr. will remember one of his famous recorded sermons on sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. We must teach children not to sacrifice permanent good for immediate pleasure or immediate indulgence. That's what a parent has got to train a child to do. Now let me be very frank with you. Parents will find that very difficult. If they themselves are living a life, for instance, where they're crushed by debt, because they could not discipline themselves to wait and see if they had an attack of the gimmies. I must have, I must have, I must have. And they can't pay. How can those parents teach children what it is patiently to endure? You can't do it. There's nobody in this world will tell the difference between walking the walk and talking the talk than a child. He knows. Again, if parents are playing fast and loose with their marriage vows, or they're giving themselves up to the indulgence of some of the other lusts of the flesh, they haven't a hope in the world of teaching their children the benefits of patient self-control. And those parents particularly who are sacrificing the eternal welfare of their souls because of momentary pleasure will communicate that disdain for heaven to their children. Jesus asked, what will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There are parents who are not gaining the world, they're gaining just a little piece of the world, and they're willing to risk the damnation of their soul for all eternity for that little piece of the world, but yet at the same time they want to be able to rear their children and teach their children what it is to live with the long-term view. I tell you, it can't be done, for usually the child will not only listen to what you say, far more importantly, he'll do what you do. Remember the old story of the man who came home in the dead of winter, looked in at home, saw the children, gave his little boy a lecture, told him what to do, said good night, stepped outside and started to walk through the snow. On his way to the bar, You've all had that sense of someone following you. He had that, and he turned around and he saw a sight that changed his life. He saw a little boy walking through snow that was too deep for him and lifting up his legs and putting his feet in the very hole that his father had made in the snow. That father that night recognized, my son does not only hear what I say, but he's putting his feet in the very prints that I have made. If he follows me where I'm going, he'll follow me to hell. The duties of parents. I come back, God willing, next week to deal with the duties of children. But I want you to understand me tonight that this domestic relationship, this domestic arrangement, this domestic happiness, this commitment of your whole self, this investment of your whole being, is next to your conversion to Christ the most important thing you're ever going to do in this life. If you have children, they are your most precious possessions. They are your most important possessions. And remember, they are immortal possessions. The duties of parents are great. How can we do it? How can anybody live up to this? The duties are there. I think there's not a parent here but is bound to feel, Lord, I am such a failure. And yet, the duties are given to instruct us, to encourage us, and to enable us. They're not given to depress us and defeat us and put us on a guilt trip. They are meant to be fruitful in our lives. When you consider these duties, how can you fulfill them? First, make sure you're saved. Second, make sure you yourself are walking with God. Understand the gospel. Understand how God the Father has treated you, and you as his representative will know how you should be a father. Understand the gospel. Understand grace. Let it thrill your heart what God in grace has done for your soul. And I tell you, the greatest equipment that any parent can have to do right in the home is to be living in the full experience of the gospel. You can express God's grace when you're experiencing God's grace. When you're living in the enjoyment of Christ, then you will be able to communicate that enjoyment in all your domestic relationships. The law tells us what to do. The gospel gives us the power to do it. May God teach us and then enable us to obey his word.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.